I just think there's a lot of beauty in acknowledging like our shortcomings and our inadequacies and our poverty, these areas that we are weak in, but then not living from that place. Like, it's okay to realize like, maybe I am unworthy, or maybe I do lack in this department. Maybe I don't believe that I'm good in this area, but acknowledging like, okay, this is an area that I am weak in, but the Lord is strong in that and He can make me stronger in that.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds, seeking the moral high ground for 20 years. Pro-life, pro-family, and Catholic values have guided us to the top.
Magnificat has changed the daily prayer life of millions of Catholics worldwide. Each monthly pocket-sized issue includes prayers for morning and evening, daily Mass prayers and readings, meditations, saints' lives, essays, and more. Magnificat helps you pray the way the Church prays. Email offers at magnificat.com to request a free copy. Visit Magnificat online by clicking the link above or below in the description, or download the app and receive a month for free. Explore Magnificat and give your prayer life the beauty it deserves.
Hi, hello, welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. We're revisiting the both and concept that we discussed last time. In this case, the extremes of humility, self-deprecation, and pride. So stoked to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a good topic.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of, I know before we dive into these things, I want to have these definitions very clear, right?
Yeah.
And at least our experiences with humility. So in terms of humility, pride, self-deprecation, how has that influenced your spiritual life?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, which is why this is a really cool conversation we're having,
because
I have the female perspective and you have the male perspective.
Yeah.
But whenever it came to even receiving a compliment, I think it was very easy for me to jump ship to, if I want to be humble, then I need to self-deprecate or not receive this compliment.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's like where I've approached humility for a very long time. I've always like rejected, belittled, and seen my gifts as less than or not good enough because I thought that was humility. So I've had a very skewed understanding of the virtue for a long time. And I think a lot of people do, unfortunately. And so like that's what we're diving into, like
for
either
sure.
My perspective of thinking that I have to be self-deprecating, mm-hmm. or people who go the opposite direction and they receive the compliment and it's just pride
that consumes them. Yeah, it's so funny you mentioned being able to accept the compliment, and it might be a more of a millennial and Gen Z thing. So it brings a funny story. So at work, I work in media in the city, and we nailed this great project. We successfully completed everything, all the KPIs, all the corporate speak, and we did such a good job. So my boss comes up to me in the break room and he goes, "Matt, you did a really good job." Everyone loved it. Everyone said, raise your praises, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it wasn't me. It was my team. Or it was so-and-so.
Yeah.
It was this function and this equipment and this mission, yada, yada, yada. And my boss looks at me like straight in the eye and he goes, "Matt, just take the compliment, buddy. You're good." I'm like, oh, I am good. And I think sometimes we forget to maybe that's that sense of false pride or maybe self-deprecation kind of kicks in as like, maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe if I accept the compliment, they're going to think I'm a certain way.
Right.
But that goes back to what we were talking about last time with surrender. Maybe we have to surrender, accept the goodness when it comes to us.
It's right? interesting.
Yeah.
We actually had a priest come into the office and he gave the perfect explanation on how to receive a compliment. And he said, there are three ways to receive it. So you can either self-deprecate and the compliment gets shot straight down, like down to the pits of hell, right? You're instead of acknowledging like what the Lord has done in your life, you're just like, you give the enemy the glory because you rejected it. Or it can go inward, right? And get straight into boasting and being prideful and allowing that to consume your ego and just being like filled with so much pride. Like if someone, you know, complimented my dress and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my identity. That's who I am. Like
Thank
I'm always
you.
best dressed, right? And allowing it to just like consume everything that I am and being absorbed into my identity. Or I can like send the compliment up.
Upward. Oh,
right? So
that.
Those are the three directions, down, inward, or up. And I can say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me an eye for beauty and I found this dress because of you. So thanks, Lord.
Thank you
so
for it's the like color Uno and the contrast.
I receive the compliment, but at the same time, it's like glory to God, because I recognize like without him, I wouldn't even have the means to afford this dress. I wouldn't have the eye to pick the dress out.
And to appreciate the color and the beauty of it.
Appreciate it. And so it's basically just giving God his due glory whenever we receive a compliment, because ultimately the gift is his. And so like that's a really good way to kind of approach the whole concept of accepting a compliment.
Yeah, that's a healthy pivot, I feel, because sometimes we want to go to either like the negative self-talk and self-deprecation, or it's like, oh, I'm cool. I'm going to pull a 90s term as my 90s kid, being all that in a bag of chips, right? Being the coolest guy on the block, right? But oftentimes, and I do this too, similar to you, where when I do a lot of Christian music now on the side, and normally if people like the congregation or the audience kind of comes up to me in the band, I always say thanks be to God. Maybe it's a Catholic mass thing. I'm so used to saying thanks be to God in my vernacular. And one of my favorite writers, Patrick Madrid, Catholic apologist, always says thanks be to God when he's speaking to people on his podcast. So I've incorporated like, oh, praise God. Oh, thank God. Yeah. Every time someone compliments me. So at least, yeah, it's that trajectory upward, not inward.
It's become really cool. Second nature, which goes back to virtue being a habit.
Yeah.
And like, that's the whole thing about it. If you develop the habit, it becomes second nature and it becomes easy
natural to
perfect the virtue of humility. I did want to dive into Mary accepting a compliment, because this is so cool.
Let's go, Mom.
Like,
let's
if
go.
You ever... Scripture is just awesome because it gives us a prototype on how to live our lives. But if we look at Mary's Magnificat, we see that she was affirmed by Elizabeth, her cousin. And Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Easily, Mary could have received that and been like, oh my gosh, you're so right. Like, blessed is the fruit of my womb. What an honor.
Yeah, true.
It's all from my doing. And I did this on my own accord. Or she could be like, absolutely not. I'm so unworthy. Like, send that to the pits of hell, right? But this was her approach. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaidens. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. He has shown the strength of his arm. Just like, she goes on and
bars,
it's all of
Mary.
These key-centered remarks, and she points it back to Jesus. So I just find that to be like such a beautiful example of how we can, even implement that in our own lives.
Yeah, I think to really have like that antithesis of the both and humility in our daily prayer lives. And it's funny that this wasn't planned at all. So I've been praying the Magnificat daily. The CFRs have been mentioning it to really incorporate that in your daily prayers. Obviously you have the classics, the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, Rosary, what's up? But really praying the Magnificat for me has been the antithesis of the podcast and the antithesis of the both and, where it's a healthy humility. It's not like that sending the self-deprecation, sending it downward. It's not sending it inward, sending it upward. Everything is up. So a couple notes I took since you mentioned the Magnificat, which is, I love that prayer. It's that humility first approach, right?
Yes.
So my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. So the soul is facing upward. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So it's humility first. It's not like, hey, I'm cool. I got I did this and that. I went to this many masses and this many novenas or whatever. And then the both and kicks in, which is pretty awesome. He casts down the mighty and lifts up the lowly, right? So it's casting down and lifting up. He fills the hungry, but he sends the rich away empty in the Magnificat, right? So that kind of both and that we're going to be diving more into as these episodes progress. And then lastly, he's a God who keeps his promises toward the very end. So he mentions, Mary mentions the legacy from Abraham's descendants to the church now, right? He's a God who keeps his promises. And what does that mean for us as we dive more into these episodes? We'll see, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Me too. What's been your experience though? Like, as I mentioned, as a female, as a woman, it's been very easy for me to like fall into self-deprecation. I guess you kind of like shared a bit that you've been prone to that as well.
A lot of negative self-talk, which kind of falls in that kind of category, right? So I think it's funny how when men think of pride, a lot of it is men want to be respected. And where am I being respected? Where am I not being respected?
Yeah.
And oftentimes for me, as someone who kind of battles with anxiety and battles with things like, you know, am I speaking to myself in a healthy way and praying and for myself in a healthy way? I now start my day off with a litany of humility and end it with a litany of trust. So I went to, and also this is the same Theology of the Body event I went to a couple of years ago, where I went to confession, a really fruitful confession where the priest really, we both dove deep into my personal life at the time. And his big takeaway, his homework for me was to do the litany of humility every day. And it's such a great prayer. So it's
a hard one.
It's a tough one. Especially to start your day, like right out of bed, get on your knees and pray the Litany of Humility. It's a great one. We'll share it on the socials here. But for me, it helps set me up to have a realistic day and not be so full of myself and full of what I can do, but just be humble in the face of God. And the responses toward, like, normally with litanies, just to clarify in a Catholic context, normally with litanies, it's a call and response pattern. Normally you say something and you respond to it, right? So the response toward the end of the Litany of Humility is, grant me the grace to desire it. That's grant me the grace to desire it. So I love that response. I was praying this on the train to the city for work actually yesterday, that we're speaking about this. So grant me the grace to desire it, right? So grant me. So this is something that doesn't come from us. It comes from God. So we're asking him to grant us with this. What is that thing? Grace. We need to cooperate. We mentioned this last time, cooperating with God's grace. And then mentioning like the need and our want to desire things. I think our human desires are a natural thing. And when the good desires come, in this case from God, we have the natural tendency to desire that goodness from God as well. So grant me the grace to desire it. So I start my day off with the Litany of Humility. It's something I've been doing every day. And I try to end my day now, not every night if I pass out forever, long days. But normally I do the Litany of Trust at the end by the Sisters of Life. Wrote this really great litany. And I've been adding that to my evening prayers, spiritually, kind of to set you up for being fully humble in the Lord, but also at the end of the night, trusting the Lord as you sleep and as you kind of start your next day. So with the Litany of Trust, toward the very end of the litany, the last few lines, the order really struck me, which was really awesome. So the last lines are, teach me to trust you. You are my Lord and my God, and I trust that I'm your beloved one, right? So those are the last three lines of this beautiful litany that the sisters wrote. So teach me to trust you. That teaches us that trust is taught. It's something that we learn through the church, that we learn through scripture, that we learn through God. And then the last two lines, which are fantastic, trusting that you are my Lord and my God, and trusting that I'm your beloved one. And as a man too, I forget that I'm a beloved one as well. We think we have to like go and get and obtain and, you know, strive for things. That's a beautiful thing. But we forget also that we are beloved in the eyes of God as men, and we have to be able to receive and surrender as well. So that's the way that I've incorporated that sense of healthy humility in my life. Yeah.
Not only that, you're a bride. Like, I don't think men think about that.
The Lord is the
bridegroom, and you're the bride of the church.
That's not a natural thing for us to think as guys, too. You know what I mean? But that's where the surrender comes in.
Right.
Yeah.
And you grow in intimacy with the Lord through that. But that's so good. Those are like concrete ways to help you grow in humility. If you're struggling with humility, you know, open up, or I guess, open up scripture, yes. But also, like, just search up Litany of Humility. And the Lord says he gives gifts to those who ask. And so if you're wanting to grow in this department, in this area, all you have to do is ask. And the Lord is so willing to give gifts. But at that same time, I don't know why I'm looking at the camera. At that same time, it's like, if he gives you this gift, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I'm just thinking about, for example, if someone gifted me like a beautiful necklace, and then let's say like someone complimented that necklace and I rejected the compliment, it's like the offense goes to the person who gifted that to me. So even in the context of like asking gifts from the Lord, it's like, what are you going to do with that gift, and how are you going to receive that gift in your life? Because you can ask for it, but then at the same time, if you're going to, you know, make it less than it should be with your demeanor or with your actions, then ultimately, I don't know, you're not really deserving of that.
Yeah, gift. I feel like you mentioned the receiving of gifts, and that's something that we suffer with, especially this new generation of Gen Z and millennial, right? It's like, how do we actually receive things and be a genuine reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've learned too is that, and this is my own personal life and witnessing, you know, my friends also and family go through things, is that gratitude is rooted in humility. Because if you're going through really hard times, you could empathize with people when you're going through hard times. But if you're grateful and have that like kind of context or that silver lining, that overarching umbrella of like, oh, just to be grateful in all things. You're going to be grateful for, say, if someone gives you a compliment or gives you a gift or helps you out in a certain way. If you're rooted in that gratitude, that helps you receive better, at least in my personal life anyway. Yeah,
I agree with that. I agree. I think also acknowledging your goodness goes a long way. And so just going back to practicals that we can do, I know our culture is such an affirmation forward culture. Like every morning they wake up and they do affirmations like, I am good today. Like, I am beautiful. I am worthy. All of these
set
things.
Up their days,
but it goes a long way to do just like declarations that are focused on the Lord. Like, in the name of Jesus, I believe and declare that I'm a daughter of Christ.
Wow.
And in the name of Jesus, I believe and declare that because of him, I've been bestowed with a dignity that I am undeserving of, and yet I have, right? And so even just like that shift in the morning and in the night is so pivotal. What, going back to what you were saying, that you start your morning with the litany of humility, and you end with the litany of trust, but just like anchoring your day on both of these, whether it's declarations, whether it's prayer, whether it's, you know, coming face to face with the Lord and like saying, hey, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling with pride. I'm struggling with self-deprecation. I hate myself. Like, be honest with the Lord.
Yeah.
He wants to receive that. And then from that place, that's when he can speak truth. Unless, if you're not honest, he's not. I mean, yes, he's the Lord and he'll speak truth into whatever you need him to speak truth in. But there's a certain level of vulnerability that needs to be in place to crack yourself open and allow you to receive like whatever he wants to
and
give you.
And we're just not natural. And I don't know if it's a masculine or feminine thing, but being vulnerable in general, especially to the Lord. Because when I would pray initially, I'd be like, oh, cure my good things, God, take this. Am I cool?
Right.
Okay, great. Okay,
yeah.
Great. I'm solid. And you realize, no, he wants all of it. He wants all of you, the good, the bad, and everything, right? He made you in that image and likeness for a reason, because he wants you in that relationship, right? And you mentioned the good, which is really great, because I want to segue too in terms of another scripture passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, test everything, retain what is good. So we're kind of going back into this both and dichotomy here and defining what pride is, right? That healthy skepticism versus living in cynicism. So testing everything, retaining what is good. So what do I mean by this, right? So one of my favorite passages in of Paul's or just in general is 1 Thessalonians 5, test everything, retain what is good. So the spiritual life and just life in general is both testing and retaining. And I think if you live, and this is going to be a recurring thing now in these camps, right? If you live in testing for too long, that's going to build a sense of anxiety. But if you live in just retaining the good and absorbing the good too much, you're going to wind up enabling a lot of bad habits and bad behaviors, right? So if you're constantly testing everything, and I think it's good to be able to test and discern things in any kind of stage of your life, but if you're constantly testing, that shows or indicates a lack of hope and trust. But if you're focusing, as mentioned, on the good, you're not taking into account the full reality. You may be hoarding pleasures. You may be thinking about what I can get out of things if you're so focused on the good. And I love the aspect of the good in this context, in this both and sense, of testing everything, retaining what is good, so you could actually see what's out there, discern, but also receive, like we're talking about receiving as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed with contrarian thinking. Their independent research and analysis provide a deep understanding of our investments with the intent to avoid or minimize unpleasant surprises. This helps to ensure that their funds' investments match your moral beliefs. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions solely based on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274. Or visit the link above or below in the description. Magnificat has changed the daily prayer life of millions of Catholics worldwide. Each monthly pocket-sized issue includes prayers for morning and evening, daily Mass prayers and readings, meditations, saints' lives, essays, and more. Magnificat helps you pray the way the Church prays. Email offers at magnificat.com to request a free copy. Visit Magnificat online by clicking the link above or below in the description, or download the app and receive a month for free. Explore Magnificat and give your prayer life the beauty it deserves.
Okay, we're going to talk about a lot of scripture here, but
yeah,
that really just sparked this this idea that even in scripture, it tells us to, you know, think about whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is righteous, right? Whatever is pleasing. Those are the things we should think about. And not to reject scripture, but something I've been doing lately. And the differentiation here is that I've been thinking about these, but I haven't been dwelling on them. But I've been realizing like the areas where I'm poor in and my poverty. and thanking the Lord for those areas. And even going back to what you're saying, I just think there's a lot of beauty in acknowledging like our shortcomings and our inadequacies and our poverty, these areas that we are weak in, but then not living from that place. Like going back to the whole compliment and, you know, rejecting and whatnot, like it's okay to realize like maybe I am unworthy, or maybe I do lack in this department. Maybe I don't believe that I'm good in this area, but acknowledging like, okay, this is an area that I am weak in, but the Lord is strong in that and he can make me stronger in that. And so, yeah, just like thinking about that in terms of receiving a compliment, going back to that whole thing, if you genuinely don't believe a compliment that someone is giving you, I would just like bring that to prayer and like offer that to the Lord and say, hey, in this area, I always, whenever I talk to the Lord, I'm like, hey.
Hey, buddy. Hey, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, Lord. Yeah. But no, in this area, like I genuinely don't see my goodness.
You're surrendering that doubt to the Lord. Wow.
Like, can you speak goodness into this place? Or can you make me, again, asking for those gifts. I'm thinking back to, I'm honestly not the most adequate speaker. Hello, I'm on a podcast. Super contradictory. But that's just like not my forte. That's not my strong suit. And yet I always offer that to the Lord. And I'm like, I'm so weak, but this is an opportunity for you to show your glory.
But you're planted in these circumstances. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just like all glory to God, truly, whenever I do have a positive speaking engagement or a podcast episode that's, you know, the Lord is being glorified. That's all on him. Like the glory truly goes to him. So that's just another way to navigate that. Like just offering all of that to the Lord. If you don't believe something, give it to the Lord. If you believe it, give it to the Lord.
Yeah, it's just no matter what. Regardless, yeah.
Give it to the Lord.
Response,
he wants it.
Surrender to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. Surrender. Yeah, because even with doubt too, because this is something you mentioned too, when it comes to our wounds and acknowledging the wounds, I think we don't acknowledge things enough in the spiritual life. We tend to, let me just hide it underneath here so no one really sees it. And I'm going to put it under here. And this is a perfect example. I'll mention Father Zach a lot, my spiritual director, often. And when I was going through a lot of hard times, his advice to me, it wasn't to pray a bunch of novenas or read the Bible, go on a pilgrimage. It was, Matt, every time you feel triggered by anything, just sit there, just be quiet, which is hard for us to do these days. Be quiet, acknowledge the wound for what it is. Like, oh, I feel sad. I feel this. I feel lonely. I feel whatever. And just pray a Hail Mary. So immediately acknowledge it and then offer it up.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it, offer it up. I think that's kind of the prayer pipeline that's, I would say, more spiritually healthy. It's don't deny these certain things, but also just give it up. Don't let it, don't dwell in it. Don't live in those spaces, because the Lord doesn't want you to live in those spaces.
He doesn't, but he does want you to feel. I'm glad you said that. And even when we read in scripture that Jesus wept for Lazarus, it's like he knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to resurrect him. But what did he do? He allowed himself to feel the emotion to the point of weeping. I love that passage. It's the shortest passage. Jesus wept. Have you seen The Chosen?
Of course. Yeah.
Have you seen the episode?
I'm on season two or three. I'm midway through. Spoiler alerts.
Spoiler alert. It's in scripture.
He does. Yeah, yeah.
But they portray it just so beautifully. Just going back to what you said. It's
funny because this is a homily I listened to about, you know, this whole story. And I'm not a Greek expert here, but the priest was saying that the word wept or weep in Greek literally translated to being torn from the inside out.
Ooh.
So it wasn't just like Christ shedding a tear and like walking away. It was like he was like gutturally, viscerally grieving. And we don't do that enough, I feel, as a society, where we have to kind of feel the thing. Not live there. I think we can't wallow and live in a certain, you know, negative state of mind, but also you can't prevent yourself, because it's going to come back to haunt you, or it's going to come back with a vengeance, in my opinion, right? So being able to have that prudence and balance, you know, tenderness and firmness for yourself is also very important.
Yeah. There's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, where someone is just lamenting chapters and chapters.
Yeah.
It's important to feel those.
Amen.
But there are also like really important books in the Bible where we talk about rejoicing, and the Psalms. There's so much in there about joy and goodness and all of this stuff. So it's, again, both and.
Yeah.
Both and.
I think I gotta go more description. I love how this episode's really dove in deep into scripture and not playing. We just kind of riff and talk, which is by the grace of God. So Luke 12:48, this is Luke 12:48 for those with their Bibles. To whom much is given, much is tested or required, depending on the translation. So once again, Luke 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, much is tested or required, right? So it's like, yeah, you're given a lot, but you're also going to be expected of more. And in that context of the both and, is you don't want that sense of self-deprecation or that sense of pride to trump your need for salvation or your need for God. I know a lot of things. And the one thing I've learned, maybe this might be a more masculine take on pride in general, is oftentimes pride, at least for me and a lot of my guy friends, tends to be pride as an idol. So what do I mean by idols? So I know we could talk about the scriptural take on idols and everything. When I first think of idols, going back to my 80s and 90s references, I think of Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. He's trying to get that, you know, that golden monkey or that big MacGuffin at the end. We think of idols in that sense. But when I think of idol or pride as an idol, these aren't gold, majestic looking rarities like you see in these movies. It's the idol of I know better. It's idolizing, oh, I know better than God. I know better than scripture. I know better than the church. I know better than XYZ. That wounds up being, because maybe say you're knowledgeable, especially in this world that we're in, the Catholic world, if you're doing all these podcasts and events and you meet a lot of these people, you learn about scripture. I love Catholic apologetics, for example, one of my favorite things to listen to. But there's a temptation to be like, oh, I know better. So I don't need to you know, learn. I don't need to be open to things. I could just, you know, I know everything. I know all the Catholic things. I'm good, God. And it's not how it is. So I feel like when you think of pride in that context, we have to be mindful of that I know better idol to not get in the way of our spiritual lives.
We make ourselves a god whenever we do that.
Exactly.
It's like we put ourselves in that same statue, the same pedestal as God.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so important to have community to keep us in check.
Yeah. And accountability too. I think I mentioned my spiritual director before, and I've had several spiritual directors. I've been involved in men's groups, and having that sense of community and accountability is probably the remedy for all these false ways to view humility, whether it's self-deprecation or pride, right? So, little anecdote about my personal life this past year is me and my men's group, we did Exodus 90. I would say it's like Lent, Catholic Lent on steroids, where you start Lent 90 days before Easter and you take in these sacrifices or asceticisms to kind of prep yourself for the Easter season, a spiritual exercise in freedom, so to speak, is what they call it, right? So I learned through that experience, that sense of accountability, that sense of community, so I don't get so full of myself with pride or self-deprecate myself too much naturally, which is a tendency I have and I struggle with, right? So I think the remedy you mentioned, accountability and community, what does that look like? And a little kind of anecdote, when I was kind of praying and writing a lot of the content and kind of this really praying on this topic, I was blessed to give a great talk at a bachelor party out of all weekends. So it was more of a bachelor retreat. So a Catholic friend of mine, Dan Grisano, had a really great Catholic guy, focused missionary, a Catholic figure in my life, just in general. And for his bachelor party before his wedding, he did a bachelor retreat weekend, very Catholic thing to have. And it was awesome. It was fantastic. Nothing like I ever experienced before. And oftentimes we find ourselves trying to figure out, like, how do we approach real, authentic Catholic femininity and masculinity? So in this context, I'm not going to dive into either, or it's really relevant for both parties, both Catholic men and women, the importance of community in these three aspects. So I'll kind of go through the bullets of what I talked about during this really awesome bachelor party retreat weekend, kind of a lot, but it was really beautiful. So we need brothers or sisters below us, above us, and at our level. So what do I mean by that? So we need, for example, I have a bunch of younger cousins, big Filipino family. A lot of my younger male cousins look up to me. So you need that younger brother in your life, or those younger friends in your life that look up to you. Because one, they see you and they respect you, which is also really great to feel as a man or a woman. But also, you are a model to them. So whatever they do, normally a lot of that is them mimicking me or learning from me in the way I act or react or my career, my relationships, my friendships, whole nine yards. So you need people below you to kind of look up to you, to hold you accountable. You also need, in that sense of accountability and community, you need older brothers and sisters to look up to, as you to have that model for you to strive toward. And also people that have been through it and have been through the muck of, say, a career or a loss or whatever that might be. There's a beautiful book I loved and it kind of shaped my spiritual life. John Eldridge's Wild at Heart. It's a fantastic book on, like, authentic masculinity. And I'm the kind of person, for me in my more secular career, where I was like, oh, I'm going to work to gain this thing and that thing and strive for this, because it's all about me. You know, it's all about me. And you realize, especially in that book, how John Eldridge talks about how would they be leaders or presidents or CEOs. These people have a cabinet. They have a board of directors. So if these big leaders could have this guidance and community, you as like an individual man or woman, you may need, or you should be attaining or striving to attain that sense of community. So in that sense, I mentioned spiritual direction, men's and women's groups, and also having, you know, maybe Catholic or Christian mentors that could guide you in a more spiritual context. So those are the people above you. And lastly, and I've noticed this just more in my adulthood now in my 30s, is you need brothers and sisters at your level. So what I mean by that. So my older brother, literally, is probably one of my heroes. I look up to that guy very much so. And one thing that he's learned, the tolls of being an older brother, but also he's a martial arts instructor, a teacher. He finds oftentimes if there's too many people under him, he has no one to relate to at his level. Granted, he has coworkers and teachers, but if he's the older brother in every context, who can he go to just to be himself? And one thing I learned as men and women, we need that those brothers and sisters at our level. No masks, no frills, or this is who I am. So that for me is the remedy to false senses of pride and that that incongruent sense of humility is having accountability, having community, having people above you so you could strive to be like them. Those brothers and sisters below you, those say those younger folks or people that have not been through those circumstances, to look up to you and to see how you handle things and people that could keep you accountable in that context. And lastly, people at your level, brothers and sisters at your level, where you could be your full authentic self because you need that in the spiritual life.
I mean, yeah, that the Lord created us in community. He created us for communion. So it makes sense that would be the remedy.
Once again, thanks for joining us for this episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. Your support helps us carry on the mission of evangelizing to the culture through high-quality media and events. If you've been enjoying our content, we ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us in this mission. You can do that by clicking the link above or below in the description, which will take you right to our donation page. There, you can choose to make a one-time or a monthly donation. By selecting podcasts in your Apply Your Donation Towards drop-down menu, you can be assured that this gift will go directly to the production of this podcast. Once again, thank you for joining us, and we thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, peace.